This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell. Well, 'tis the time of year when the hunters are in the woods seeking various types of game, and this guest in the studio with me this morning is a fellow who went through the process of learning to hunt and then recounted the story in his book, And Now We Shall Do Manly Things. Craig Heimbuch is in the studio with me to talk about his new book and his hunting experiences. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's begin. You, even though you grew up in a family of hunters, you weren't necessarily a hunter when you grew up.
Well, I come from Iowa stock. My dad is an Iowa farm boy, but I grew up in the suburbs of Cleveland, and my dad was the one who moved away of the nine kids, and hunting was important to all of my uncles and cousins and aunts, and I was just never invited. I mean, it was just assumed that I was the city kid, and when I was old enough to start doing it, I had no interest in it. I was much more likely to be found at a coffee shop reading W.B. Yeats than, you know, thinking about taking to the field with firearms. So, yeah, I was a bit left out.
But that changed because your dad gave you a gun.
He did. He did. It was not long after my third child was born. I am my parents' third child, and I was going through this sort of postnatal malaise that a lot of men go through where you go, oh, man, what am I doing with my life? And why don't I feel like my dad? And he always seems so in control, or he always seems so on top of things. And my daughter was about 2 months old, and we went and visited my parents. And as we were leaving, he called me down into his workshop, which was never good when I was a kid. It was always my grades weren't quite what I had expected, or maybe I had sort of stretched the truth about the chores, but he called me into his workshop and very unceremoniously opened his gun case and handed me a shotgun. And I said, what's this for? And he looked at me, and my dad is not a terribly poetic or effusive man, and he said, for shooting. And I felt like half an idiot for wondering, like, you know, there must be some greater intention behind this. And I automatically assumed he was dying. I assumed something was going on. He was, you know, sort of clearing out the house because he had some sort of disease or something. And no, he said, you're at an age where this stuff might be of interest to you. And something clicked in that moment. I think he knew me better than I thought he did. I mean, I think he sensed that I was feeling what I was feeling. You know, I live this very suburban commuter life where I'm up before dawn and in the car and struggling my way down I-71. And I work all day, come home, I'm with the kids, I'm with my wife for a little bit, everyone goes to bed, and I go back to work because as a writer, that's right. When I have time to write, you know? And so I think he sensed that I needed a little disruption in my life, and he was right. I needed a lot of disruption in my life, and so I figured the most obvious and disruptive thing I could do was embrace this thing that has always seemed so important to him. And in through this adventure that I went on, because I have a personality where I don't do anything a little, right?
I read that.
Yeah,
yes.
if I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna go whole hog, right? And so I said, I'm gonna give myself a year. I'm gonna learn how to hunt, and show up in Iowa, and go hunting with my family for the first time in my life. And hilarity ensues pretty much from there.
Yeah. Well, you dive in, you take the hunting safety classes. Well, you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, to get your hunting license and the like. But you discovered that the hunt isn't always as much fun as it's made out to be, too.
No, it's not. And what I discovered is it's not about what I thought it was. I thought it was about, oh, I'm going to go out and shoot an animal. And I realized that my dad could care less if he gets anything when he's out there. The fun part of the hunting is, you know, when I went out with my uncles and cousins and things like that, all of a sudden I saw them as individual men, you know, and we had sort of a camaraderie beyond what you have at family reunions or when you see them at the holidays. And it was refreshing. I felt like I got to know my family in a whole new way. What I failed to recognize is just because I planned for things to happen a certain way doesn't mean that they will. And you know, I had this grand vision. I was going to show up and I was going to shoot a pheasant, and I was going to, you know, roast it for my family and serve this big meal for my family. And nothing turns out that way. It took me writing the book to realize that's okay. Because I was embarrassed when things didn't go as I had planned.
Your wife at some point says, just kill something.
Yeah, well, you know, my wife is a very, very patient woman who has grown to appreciate that she's married to a writer, you know, and I think it takes a certain kind of sainthood to do that. And so I spent a lot of time getting up and going out hunting on Sunday mornings and Saturday mornings because I was bound and determined that I was going to get my pheasant. And every time I came home with sort of an empty game bag, she would just be like, seriously, you're just, what are you doing? You're wasting your time. And so at one point, I was getting up to go hunting, and she looked at me and she said, you better kill something. And it was like such a surreal experience. A sweet woman who I've known since high school, and there was a little bit of bloodlust in her eyes, but it was a little bit of motivation, and I sort of understood. For her, this experience that I was having was just as important. You know, she needed me to have a thing. You know, mm-hmm. She has a thing where she'll go out with her friends a couple times a month or three times a month. I don't do that. I work really hard. I write all night. I don't go play golf. I've never shown interest in any of that stuff. I'm not in a darts league or bowling. I don't go to the bars with my friends, and I never really have. She recognized that I needed something. I needed something that I could look forward to that was just mine, and she was very, very supportive of it. And she said, for part of the adventure, I went to Maine to learn how to shoot. I had I figured if I were going to learn about gun culture, I would go to the NRA convention. Yes. I did that in Pittsburgh, and I learned that was not my speed. It was way overwhelming, and I thought, you know what? I need like the L.L. Bean version of what this culture is. And so I called L.L. Bean.
Yes, and, right. And go to Maine, yes.
And I said, here's the project I'm working on. I need to learn how to shoot. Do you have any advice? And they said, when can you get here? I mean, they were really, really great. And they put me through their shooting school and helped me understand the gear and all this stuff. And when I came home, I felt like I had accomplished something. And my wife said there was a marked difference in me. Hmm. You know, I had stepped outside of my life. I had done something for me. And when I came home, I've always been a guy who's shown up for my wife and kids. She said I was more present. It was like part of me was satisfied. And that's when I started to get that for my dad, it's not about getting an animal. It's about going away and getting into this much larger natural world. And the only bit of romantic language my dad has ever used is he said he likes to be in the woods when it wakes up. I get that now. He likes being there and hearing the animals come alive and hearing the sounds of the woods. Because when you step out into that larger world, even your biggest problems seem small. All of a sudden, you have a different perspective. And all of a sudden, you can think a little bit more clearly. So that when you come home, you have that to look forward to. You know, every year he has that to look forward to. And I get it now. And my wife understood that before I did. And she's an absolute saint. I couldn't live without her. But there were times when I was clenching my shotgun in the woods going, I have to bring her home something. And eventually we did, but I don't know that she ever ate a bite of it, to be perfectly honest.
Well, it was fun reading about both your successes and your failures. You know, you say you dive into things, but obviously you made some mistakes along the way. But what do you feel beyond that connection with your dad and learning about what hunting was really about, what do you feel you learned going through this process?
I discovered something in me where I need to learn new things. You know, you get into a job after college and you kind of stop learning. You learn very practical things, changing diapers and picking the kids up on time and all those yeah. things. But I need to sort of challenge myself with adventure a little bit. I am not intrepid, right? I am not the guy who's going to take off and go backpack through Belize or, you know, anything like that. I can have adventures in my backyard, but I need those in order to feel sort of satisfied. And I was surprised by that. I didn't know that about myself. And what's been funny is as I've talked about the book with men and women, what I've found is that's pretty common, especially for men with young kids. It's not that we feel stuck. It's that we feel compartmentalized. You know, and we need to sort of add compartments. I have a friend who lives in San Diego who at 40, with two kids under six, learned how to play rugby. And what I found was, for the exact same reason I learned how to hunt. You know, and had my family been lumberjacks, I would have picked up an axe, right? I mean, it just so happened that hunting was the thing that presented itself to me. So now I've got this whole list of things I'm going to learn how to do, and I'm not one of those kinds of people, this is terrible to say as a writer, I can't read about something and learn it. I have to go do it. Mm-hmm. And so now I kind of make little appointments with myself where I'm going to go learn how to do X, Y, and Z. And it's really great. And my hope is that my kids take that and do that their whole life. You know, it's fantastic.
Greg Heimbuch, the author of And Now We Shall Do Manly Things, Discovering My Manhood Through the Great and Not So Great American Hunt. It's available where books are sold. You can find out more about Craig and the book by visiting our website, WVXU.com. www.thehunterspodcast.org. Well, thanks again, Craig, and love the stories.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.